Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game related topics. On tonight's show, we're going to be covering the usual news, what we've been playing, and for our main topic, is there such a thing as a bad game?
A truly bad game.
Truly bad. Everybody says this is the worst game ever. That's
type yeah, idea. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
This is coming off of Twitter, obviously. Stuff yep. I've been seeing on Twitter this week. So I thought, you know, we had a really good talk about it on Friday about something similar. And so I thought, why not bring my ranting to the radio?
Well, I think people like when we are passionate.
Good. You guys are going to get passion today.
Okay, let's start with what we've been playing.
Yeah.
I got to play a few games or a game.
I got a game.
Let me just
But
see.
You missed some last week. Because we didn't want to over talk like we did the week before.
This is true. I do have a few games to talk about if we wanted to. Did I talk about Fractured Sky?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to talk about Skull.
Cool.
This is a quick little game where you have coasters. Three of them are nothing, and one of them is a skull. And you go around in a circle, and everybody's putting a coaster down. You know what you're putting down, but you don't know what everybody else is putting down. And then at a certain point, after everybody's put at least one down, somebody can bid as to how many they're going to flip over without discovering a skull. It was okay, I would say.
Yeah.
It is not really my type of game or your type of game.
No, I picked it up and you were like, yeah, bring it over. And I'm like, okay. And then I read it and it's like, this is a betting game, basically. Like, basically a trick-taking game. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, and it's... I had a lot of people rave about this game. It just wasn't for us. Everybody else at the table had fun with it. It just, I don't know, it didn't do much for me.
It was fun. I won.
Shay won.
It was fine. It's just not, I am not a trick-taking game person, so, yeah, it just wasn't for me.
Yeah, it's, to me, I thought, because when you bid, you have to flip yours over first. So to win a bid, you have to say, I haven't put any out, right?
Yeah.
And so... I don't know. I don't know if I got much out of it. Like, it's a nice looking game. It was quick. We were done in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's good to pass the time. One person said it's a good bar game.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you can play it with, like, coasters, basically.
You can play it with anything.
Yeah.
If you're out at the bar, say, can I get, you know, 12 coasters of one type and 4 coasters of another? And then 4 of you can have a game.
Yeah.
Right? So it was okay. Just not my style.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you play, Shay?
By the way, I think you talked about Fractured Skies, but I might be wrong, so...
Yeah, I can't remember.
So, we also played Grand Austria Hotel.
Correct.
Grand Austrian or Austria?
Austria.
Austria. This is an incredibly brown-looking game. I almost thought it was a Feld when I looked at it, but it is not.
It's a classic Euro presentation.
Euro. Yeah, very classic Euro. Oh, there it is on the wall right there.
Yep.
So we got this to the table. It's not a super pretty looking game. I didn't really know much about it. I asked Dave, I'm like, am I going to like this? And he's like, I think so. So I'm like, sure, let's try it. In this game, you are trying to basically feed, you're bringing guests into your hotel. You're feeding them.
And
once they've been fed, you need to make sure you have rooms prepared and then you put them in their rooms. And you score points based on feeding the guests, placing the guests in their room, and however many, and like the amount of filled rooms, will give you points. There's also end game scoring that you can get and during the game scoring through other means, basically.
Yeah.
There are some bonuses on the board where there are empire tracts, I believe is what it was, an empire tract. You wanted to get high enough on that, because 3 times during the game, basically, there was a subtraction, it discounted points, and if you were too low, you lost things. But yeah. If you were high enough, you got a bonus. So you wanted to stay high enough on that track. It played really simply. You went on your... it was a neat turn order as well.
Yes.
Turn order in this game is... I'd call it Serpentine.
Yep.
So it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, because we played with 4. And then the fourth person is the fifth turn, and it goes back. Because there is an advantage to going first. But there, I also found there was a nice advantage of getting to do both your turns in a row.
Yep.
First person's going to roll dice. A bunch of dice. Those dice then get sorted into their numbers. And each of those numbers correspond to a certain action. And you take your turn by picking one of those numbers and doing the action that is there. You can do that action as many times as there are dice there.
Yeah.
So buying...
As you do it, the actions are going to get weaker because you're taking a dice away.
Exactly. Which is why there's a bonus of going first. So you can, you know, the 1 and 2 will get you resources. I believe 3 got you rooms.
Yep.
4 got you either empire or money. And money is hard to come by, and it helps you out a lot, so it's handy to use. 4 got you staff, I think. Four got you money, 5 got you staff, and 6, you could pay a dollar and use any of the actions.
Yeah.
I got a staff card. Staff cards give you little bonuses. I got a staff card partway through the game that let me use the 6 for free, which was super handy.
Yeah, the staff cards are all things that break the game either instantly or for the rest of the game or once per round.
Or end of game scoring.
Yeah. It's a solid, solid game.
I made fun of this game all the way through it because it's not pretty looking. There are weird decisions with some of the graphic design. The rule book is kind of hard to read because they choose a weird font, and the staff cards aren't super well organized in the rule book to tell you what they all do. I don't think the iconography is fantastic. However, the rules themselves were pretty easy to play, and once you figured out where all the staff cards were, it wasn't too bad. And honestly, I did okay. I came second. Yeah, I wasn't that far behind David, so...
I started out okay, and then my engine fell apart,
mm-hmm.
and I lost badly. David did crush us, but I'm used to that.
I was only, 20 points behind him. I was pretty pleased about that.
He crushed me, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've played this twice now, and I really, really like this game. It's just a solid mechanic. Everything you do makes sense.
Yeah.
The theme is completely pasted on.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, it is kind of fun to be like, you know, doing the hotel rooms and closing them, putting guests in and looking at the guests. So there is some fun theme going on there. More theme than some Euros.
Yes.
So I really enjoyed this.
Okay. I played Woodcraft a couple of times. Both times at 4 players. This is a Vladimir Succi game. In it, you are manipulating dice. The dice are lumber, and the pips on it is what type of lumber, basically. There's 3 different colors, and you're trying to fulfill contracts. It has a very cool mechanic in what you're doing in your turn, in that there's 7 action tiles in the middle, and they move from one quadrant to the next as you take that action. If you ever get them into the fourth quadrant, and... the first quadrant isn't empty, they can't go forward again. So that action is sort of locked out, sort of not, because there's stuff you can do to take any action.
Right.
There's different upgrades you can get on your board to help you either cut those dice in half or make cuts of those dice or add pips to those dice or put 2 dice together and glue them together, because all the contracts have specific needs. Right? So if you have a 3, it has to be a 3. It can't be a 6, right?
Right.
It has to be that number. It's very tight. You're only making 13 turns, 12 to 14 turns in a game. And I thought it was wonderful. I like Succi's designs, and it had a little bit of shipwrights in it, which I really like. And just a really good game.
Cool.
And everybody seemed to have fun. The only complaint was there's this action board where you can put tools on it, and tools are very hard to come by, so it was like, why is it there if you can't get tools regularly?
Right.
So that was the one struggle in it.
Yeah.
But outside of that, Yeah, if you like Suchi's designs, I'm sure you will like Woodcraft.
Cool.
Yeah.
You kind of talked about the two games I played, but I will shout out, I played D&D for 7 hours on Sunday with a bunch of people who I've never met, never talked to before, but were in a Discord channel that I became part of, and I had an absolute blast. So thank you to them. Super, super good time. Looking forward to playing with them again.
Cool. Okay, let's get into the news, Shay.
Let's get into it. Not a ton of news today. There's a lot of Gamma stuff that's like, here's these games I looked at, and I'm like, I don't know most of these games.
Yeah.
I don't know most of these designers, but Gamma happened and lots of games got previewed.
Yeah, we talked a little bit last week about it, but there is still even more.
There's going to be stuff being posted for weeks
Yeah.
of things that they previewed and things that you can look at. We're also getting into seasons where they're announcing what's going to be shown at Gen Con, which some of these are going to be.
And it's a big couple of months for Kickstarter as people are trying, those that are organized can do a Kickstarter this month and ship it before Christmas.
So first one here. Game that was actually announced at last year's Gen Con from Renegade, and apparently Renegade's doing live streams either every week or every month talking about like what they're doing. So Renegade Game Studios. I didn't know this, but the game they announced at Gen Con, Robo Rally Transformers. This is an IP mixed with a game that's existed for a while. In this, you are. It's similar rules to how Robo Rally already works, where you are controlling a car. You secretly play your program cards, and you flip them over one at a time and move your vehicle. Your vehicle has a laser pointed forward, so if you look at anybody, it can hit them.
Yep.
And you're trying to make it through. In this similar idea, you're controlling one of six Transformers, but you have a bot form and a car form. Yes. The car works the same as it does in Robo Rally, except it can go off of ramps and things that allow you to move farther without having to use a program card. And the bot form can shoot forward and also to each side and can also enter buildings, but it can't use the ramps or anything. So you're kind of switching between the two, trying to make it to the end of the race,
Yep.
which sounds kind of cool. And that one is coming out in May this year.
Cool.
Also being released is Robo Rally 30th Anniversary Edition, which is going to have it's 2 to 8 players, double-sided boards, wooden tokens, comes with painted robots, and $120.
Wow.
Yeah. But
We have a copy of Robo
do we
Rally.
actually?
Yeah. I think we got it for $5.
Nice.
It's a fun little mess with people game
Right.
because no matter you're doing something, somebody else is doing something, and it never works out. Your plans are not that great. And everybody I've seen playing it who gets into it is sitting there giggling and laughing,
Yeah, I can
right?
see that. It's
It's
kind of similar to how we played,
yeah.
what's it, whatchamacallit?
Thunder Road
Thunder
Vendetta.
Road, yep.
Yeah, it's the same idea. You're doing something to mess with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also from Renegade Studios, I think this was announced last year and we probably briefly talked about it. After Hasbro failed to kickstart HeroScape, Renegade got permission to use it or bought it from them. And so they have announced that in August they're releasing HeroScape Age of Annihilation Master Set.
Yep.
So this is a set that has everything you need to play HeroScape. It's $125 for the base game, which is much better than the $250 that was the Kickstarter.
Yep.
It's unpainted, but that's the base game. 225, you get it all pre-painted.
Yes.
So decent deal, and you can get into it for a lot cheaper, which is reasonable, right?
It's more reasonable.
Yeah.
The base game has their miniatures washed, so there is some
Oh, it is
detail.
washed. Okay.
There is
Yep.
some detail to them, and it looks more along the lines of what
HeroScape was.
HeroScape was, and it's compatible with all the previous HeroScape
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. They're also releasing Battle for Age of Annihilation, Battle for Wellspring, which is a smaller set. It's not the full master set. It's a smaller set. I didn't see a price for it. As well as the Grove at Lar's Edge, which is a terrain pack for the game.
Yeah, with trees and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So releasing a bunch of stuff in August for HeroScape at a more reasonable price. So we'll see how that does.
Yeah, gone are the days. I think when I bought HeroScape, it was about $60,
Yeah.
and that was all painted. It was beautiful stuff. I've
Yeah.
since sold all of it, If I do have any of it, it's in a box somewhere, but I think I've sold everything I had up to that point.
It's unfortunate. I know we weren't playing it. It was fine to sell it.
We played it once.
It's almost unfortunate because now I'm getting into RPGs,
It would be
TTRPGs, and
good
it would be
for that.
fantastic to play. But
The
here we are.
problem with HeroScape was it took you an
An hour to
hour to
set
2 hours
up.
to set up and 30 to 45 minutes to play, right? So unless you had someplace to have it set up all the time, it just didn't get played.
Arx from Leader Games is being debuted at Gen Con this year, which I believe that's the game that I talked about ages
Two
ago.
years
Two
ago is
years
on
ago was
your,
on my I Want to playlist because I thought it sounded cool, but it was supposed to come out after his previous game had reached people, and that game is now starting to show up to people. I can't remember what it's called. It's not Oath. I think it's a four-letter word. I can't remember.
I didn't realize he had something after Oath.
There was something. There was a game that came after Oath that I think was what like people were. It had been kickstarted and people were waiting on it, and
Okay.
it's now starting to show up at people's homes. Or maybe that's Oath, but I thought Oath has been out for a while.
Oh, Oath has been
Yeah,
out for over
there's
a year.
something else that was in between. I can't remember the name of it,
Okay.
but this one is now getting debuted at Gen Con, so it
Well, it's
exists.
starting to ship to people too,
Yeah,
right? People, I've
maybe
seen
this is
people
that
with
game,
it,
but yeah.
right?
So yeah, this game's finally coming out. Maybe I'll actually get to play it.
The neat thing with this one is it's you can buy one or two boxes. One is the game and one is the campaign.
Right.
So you don't have to buy a campaign game that you're never going to play. You can buy just a rinse and repeat game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, sounds cool. Fox Experiment Second Printing is on GameFound. Opened yesterday.
Sort of second printing.
Sort of second printing. They just kind of described it as the second printing,
Okay.
or at least second crowdfunding. It is basically the same thing, but instead of the plastic components that came with the original, they're now doing fully wooden components.
Yeah.
Other than, I'm guessing, the dice. They say most components replaced. My guess is the dice are still
No,
plastic.
dice are wooden
Oh,
as
are
well.
they?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they said most components. Full honesty. We are recording before it's open, so there is no pricing or any other information
Yeah,
on
as
there.
you're listening
So
to this, it will be
it
open.
is open. We can go take a look at it. I can't look at it right
It was just I went to the preview page and it showed the dice as wooden.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they did say in the description on that page that most components, not all. So something is still going to be plastic. We'll see what those are.
Also a fabulous game if you
Oh,
haven't played
such a
it.
good game. Yeah. Update on one of my Kickstarters. We talked a little bit about Bugs and Buttons last week, which
That's getting
should be
close.
shipping soon. I think it's in Canada at this point, and is looking super cute from pictures I've seen. Undergrove, though, also in production. They emailed us. Undergrove is Elizabeth Hargraves. They emailed us some photos. They're looking at production right now, and the game looks, or the boxes and stuff looks super cute. The art looks great. I'm very excited to play this.
Weirdwood Manor is also in
Oh,
pre-production.
yeah.
Are almost into production. They just got the new dice in, or because the colors were off.
Awesome. Really briefly, there is an article out that talks a little bit about Kickstarter after they. And their reputation after they announced that they were doing blockchain crypto stuff last year.
And then tried to hide it as
And
best they
then
could.
tried and then backed off of that real fast and tried to hide it. But there is basically talk that they are struggling a little bit and their reputation has not fully recovered from that decision that they made.
Yeah, there is some stiff competition in crowdfunding right now
Yeah.
for board games.
For board games, yeah.
I don't know a lot of people that back other stuff on Kickstarter. I haven't seen the numbers, but I think it's significant dollars come from board games,
Yeah.
and GameFound has come out, BackerKit
Backer
has
kit.
come out, and those two have really put a dent into it. And a lot of it is the tools for moderation aren't there, and GameFound has hit it out of the park with what's called stretch pay, where you can back a Kickstarter and then pay for it over the next 4 months
Yeah.
or 10 months or however the publisher wants to do it. I had heard it was a maximum of four payments, but somebody told me they did one much longer. And they have better moderation tools. So they have attracted a lot of the big people, like Cephalofair for...
Yep. Well, GameFound got Cephalofair, or... Yeah. And then... BackerKit got Cephalofair. Yeah. Right. BackerKit got the big Gloomhaven Kickstarter, yeah. So...
GameFound got Seamon.
Yeah, GameFound got Seamon, and BackerKit got Cephalofair, and... Both are big companies to have in your pocket, so...
Yeah, there's some big ones that have gone away from Kickstarter. There's some that are... There's companies that are staying, but it's...
That, and at least GameFound has said, like, no AI art on ours, right? Which is puts a good word in for a lot of artists out there, so...
Even though the company behind GameFound got caught using AI
awesome.
On another thing, that was the Puerto Rico one we talked about. Right. They took it down immediately. They were trying to get something out quick.
Yeah.
Right? And it didn't end well.
Yep. Yeah. Last real quick, ToonCon registration is up.
Yes.
It is in April. End of April.
Yes. And I managed to get lucky and win a weekend pass.
Yeah.
From the ToonCon people, thank you very much. Looking forward to being there for part of the weekend, most of the weekend.
Most of the weekend. We work on some of the on Saturday, so we'll be there in the evening.
We'll be evening Friday, evening Saturday
at the auction. Feel free to come say hi to us.
Yeah, we should have a new shirt there.
Yeah, hopefully.
So you'd be able to see which ones we are.
Yep.
If not, listen for the loud laugh.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. All right, you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR. Thank you to our awesome sponsor, Amazing Stories.
Yes.
You guys are fantastic. Let's get into our main topic, which is there such a thing as a bad board game? Can a board game truly be bad? Backstory. Real quick backstory.
Okay.
I talked about last week, the Daggerheart beta playtest is open. This is a TTRPG from Darrington Press that's just coming out. And there's a lot of discussion online of game design and people saying, this game sucks because I don't like this. And the thing is, I've done some stuff. My degree is partially in design. Yep. And I think when people say that this game is bad because I don't like this, what they're really saying is, this game isn't for me. And that doesn't mean a game is bad.
Yes.
It just means it's not your type of game, right?
Yeah, for me, I have a hard time saying any game is bad. And this has come up on numerous discussions that we had, including our first show.
Yep, when we talked about Catan.
We talked about Catan. In it, you know, there's a lot of people that like to hate on Catan once they get into different games.
Yeah.
Right? Catan is not flawless. But that doesn't make it a bad game.
Yeah. Or people will hate on games that are simpler. You know, they'll play super heavy 18x games and then say like, oh, you play that game? That's boring and bad.
Yeah, that's a bad
game. That's a bad game. You know, like, it doesn't have enough of this in it. And it's like, it's not that it's a bad game. It's just not your type of game, right? But I think people have a hard time kind of differentiating that.
Yeah, it's... And that's a lot of the conversation we had on Friday discussing this, where people are like, it's popular to hate on Stonemaier games.
Yeah.
Because his games are popular.
Yeah.
Right? And
when it's a big enough person, like Darrington Press is owned by is part of Critical Role. Critical Role is massive. People are going to hate on something that's that popular because they're like, oh, it's only successful because they're popular, right?
Yeah.
Stonemaier's another great example.
Yeah, and I think it's just one of those things as people that talk about games a lot, I try not to say, and I may have
we probably are guilty of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there is no game I've played that is a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
I've played lots of games that aren't for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I am the first to admit that. There's nothing wrong with this game. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
Right? Skull is a prime example. Most area control games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or take that games. You know, they're just not for me. Social deduction. They're not for me. That doesn't make them a bad game, right?
Yep. Well, I've talked about it. Viticulture. Not a fan of Viticulture. But, it's a solid game. It's fine. There's not really anything wrong with it. I think the closest I'd come to calling a game bad would have been Tapestry. But even then, there are solid mechanics in that game, right?
The amount of people that are still playing Tapestry says to me that it's not a bad game, right?
It's fine.
It has a very loyal following and people that have bought expansion after expansion for that game, right?
Yeah.
This, and when we're talking about games, it's mostly about designer games.
Yeah.
Right? There are games that are thrown together in the commercial space that are really not games, right?
Yeah.
So some of those.
And the thing is, I think any truly bad game,
yeah,
right? If it is truly bad, does not get near popular enough that people are really aware of it.
Yeah.
In to be a case where I would say, yes, we can call that a bad game, because to be honest, I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, people will hate on Monopoly.
Yeah.
It has sold
billions.
Hundreds of millions of copies. How is that bad?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You know, it's not for me, right?
Yeah, the only place I could even get close to saying a game might be bad is actually if its theme is bad.
Yes.
Right? I could argue that if a theme is offensive in an actual, like if it's racist or it's sexist or homophobic or anything like that, I could probably call that a bad game, but even then, I would be more likely to say this game probably has okay game mechanics,
yeah,
but I won't play that theme, right?
Yes. Yeah, and that is a good point. You know, there can be pieces of a game that are bad, right? But something like Mombasa, that theme was bad.
Yeah.
Sky Mines is fun, right? Like the mechanics in Mombasa were very good.
I think it's a good way to prove it. If you take the mechanics from a game that has a bad theme and you put it somewhere else with a different theme and it's good, then you know it was just the theme, right?
Yeah. And I think people need to look at it
yeah.
a little bit clearer when they're sharing their thoughts on a game.
Yeah.
Right? There's popular people there that if they badmouth a game, it can ruin that game.
Yeah.
Right?
Like absolutely.
They can commercially ruin a game.
Yeah.
I think you have to be careful with that.
I think a role of a reviewer here, like let's talk about a reviewer, is when you review, you have to give information that is useful to someone like you who might be thinking about playing the game.
Yeah.
But don't bash the game necessarily and say this is the worst game that's ever existed, because that's not helpful.
Yeah.
Telling people, I didn't like this because it was too much worker placement. There you go, right? That tells people yeah. that, hey, maybe I won't like this game.
Constructive criticism is always the way to go in my world.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good night.